2013 at 5:39 p.m. Pacific Time and 8:39 p.m. Eastern Time. We're going to start off by calling the roll. My name is Tracy Grisenberg. I am a listener rep from KPFA, and I'm the outgoing chair of this committee. And we're going to have R. Paul Martin from WBAI, our secretary, call the roll, if you would.
Okay. Ken Aaron.
Here.
Jim Boyd. Bill Mike
here. Bill's here.
Marcus Jenner.
Here.
Campbell Johnson.
Here.
Kim Kaufman. Well, I'm here, but, you know, it's really Michael Novick that's the new
treasurer. That's correct.
I'm here as, like, the last meeting, non-voting meeting.
Okay. Yep. We're going to do a committee composition update, but Kim does not count for the purposes of quorum or voting.
Okay. R. Paul Martin here. Tracy Rosenberg.
Here.
Alex Steinberg.
Okay. And our new member is Michael Novick from KPFK.
I'm present. I was on mute.
Yeah. Robert Wipperman.
Here.
Okay. And Michael Novick.
Okay. Here.
Okay. So we have more than quorum, it seems.
Tracy?
If we have a quorum.
Thank
Jim Boyd, Ron would have a full house.
Tracy's
pretty
Bill.
Close, yeah. I'm sorry, who was that?
This is Bill. Just, I think I may have chopped off the first 5 seconds from the stream, so you might just want to identify which committee this is in case anybody doesn't know.
Oh, sure. Let me run through that again. For anyone who might be joining us, this is the Pacifica National Board Finance Committee. This is our regular semi-monthly meeting. It is February 19th. We began the meeting at 5:39 p.m. Pacific and 8:39 p.m. Eastern Time. We have called the roll and established that we do have a quorum of the membership. Okay, so moving on, I did send out a draft agenda on the Yahoo groups. Michael, I added you to that, so you should have received it.
I didn't get it.
Okay, Kim, you didn't get it because I removed you and added Michael.
Okay.
Okay? It's not a very complex agenda, but since I was doing the one, I did the other since I was going to have to do it sooner or later.
Hey, Tracy, this is Jim. I'm back. My phone's coming and going, so I may come and go tonight.
Okay.
This is Michael. I said notices of the meeting. I don't think I saw the agenda, but I assume you're going to run through it in the office of stream, so I'll just look here.
Okay, and if you could check for your email at some point, it went out at 3:21 p.m., just so we know if there's a problem with the Yahoo groups or not. You know, let me know. The agenda for the stream was pretty straightforward. 1, roll call. 2, approve the agenda. 3, approve pending minutes. 4, a brief committee composition update. We generally just do that for the stream so people understand who's coming and who's going. I thought we might do a brief CFO search update. We do have the chair of the committee on the call, so he can do that. And since we did not get the promised financial statements, I assume that the full board will be receiving them momentarily. The last item was simply that we do some around-the-horn updates with the information that we have to work with. A closed session is optional, and we will take sort of the temperature of the group and see if we want to do that. And that will be item 7. So that's the draft agenda. Are there any modifications, changes? Any move to approve?
This is Ken. One moment. I think you should add to the end of the agenda scheduling the next meeting and a review of action items.
Okay. Sounds good. Paul, have you got that?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll move to accept it as amended.
Okay. Any objections?
Who moved to accept?
Michael. As amended.
Okay. So approved. Okay, so that will take us to the pending minutes. We have one set from the previous meeting, which was at the end of January. Arpal, do you want to take over for that?
Okay, give me 1 second. I'm getting the agenda in here.
Okay.
1 second, and I... okay, those are the minutes from the January 22nd public session meeting. And so I'll move that we approve the minutes of the January 22nd public session.
Okay. Are there any objections to approving those minutes?
I will abstain. I will abstain.
Okay, then, Arpal, can you call the roll on the motion to approve the minutes of January 22nd?
Okay, 1 second. Okay. Ken Aaron.
Yes.
Jim Boyd. In and out. Bill Crozier.
Yes.
Marcus Jeter.
Abstain.
Campbell Johnson.
Abstain.
Okay, this is slightly not in the usual order, but Michael Novick?
Abstain, since this is my first meeting.
R. Paul Martin, yes. Tracy Rosenberg?
Yes.
Alex Steinberg?
Yes.
Barbara Wipperman?
Abstain.
And so, okay, going back, because he's in and out. Jim Boyd, are you here? Okay, he's not here. All right, the vote is 5-4-0 against 4 abstentions.
Okay. All right, so that takes us to item 4, which is our committee composition update. Just very quickly, all of the station board treasurers are remaining the same from 2012 to 2013 with one exception. That exception is Los Angeles, KPFK, where Michael Novick is replacing Kim Kaufman. We had agreed that we would have one meeting with both outgoing and incoming treasurers. The incoming treasurer is the voting member of the committee for both quorum and motion purposes, if we have any. But we are going to allow free conversation from both treasurers. And then starting with the next meeting, the elected 2013 KPFK treasurer will be the only representative from KPFK, along with whatever PNB member is elected to go forward. So does that make sense? Is anybody confused? Okay. And my guess is that this will be the last meeting for all of the existing PNB representatives. So maybe at the end we'll just have a brief acknowledgement and goodbye. Because we will be having a slightly changed committee going forward at the next meeting. Okay, so that's pretty much that. CFO search update, if it's okay, Alex, I don't want to wear you out, but I think you might be the best person as chair of the search committee, just to give the NFC a little bit of an update on where the CFO search stands and what they can expect.
Sure. It was an ED and CFO search committee. We completed the CFO part of our search, at least as far as the committee's responsibilities go, in that we have selected three finalists for the CFO position to be interviewed at the in-person meeting in New York. And presumably what happens next is that the incoming PNB will select one of those finalists to be Pacifica's new CFO. So if all goes well, and I certainly hope it does, and I have every expectation that it will, that Pacifica will have a new CFO sometime in March.
Okay. Okay. Any questions for Alex? Okay. Well, that was nice and fast. All right. So before we go to the around the horn updates, if the committee will indulge me, I was thinking maybe we could take care of the items about whether or not we're going to closed session and the next meeting date. Would that be okay?
Sure.
Okay. Just seemed like we should get the small stuff out of the way, because my guess is partially that the decision about executive session may relate to stuff that comes up in the around the horn and so on, so I think we should make a decision about it. So in terms of the next meeting, this committee has historically met for a pretty long period of time on the second and fourth Tuesday of the month. So on a preliminary basis, I did go ahead and reserve the second and fourth Tuesdays in March for the committee. That doesn't require the committee to necessarily meet on those dates, but it does provide at least a sort of a guideline and a place to gather if, in fact, it's decided to change that. Meeting twice a month is a logistical challenge with the PNB calendar, so whatever the committee does do, it should settle on a regular meeting schedule and make those reservations all the way through to the end of the year. So that would be my recommendation. Is there anyone who has a strong objection to leaving the second and fourth Tuesday in place until the next meeting of the committee, which will be in early March?
This is Barbara.
Yeah.
I don't have a strong objection, and I'm just pointing this out in case it's of interest to anyone else. The fourth Tuesday is Passover.
Hmm. Yeah, that comes up sometimes with the holidays. That may be a reason to move it. We will see. Okay, so I don't have the calendar in front of me, but let's see when this first Tuesday is in March, and maybe we'll believe that as a strong suggestion to the next convener.
The first Tuesday of the month?
No, it's the second and the fourth Tuesday. We will
be meeting. And the 26th are the dates.
This is Ken for the
in March. That's correct, yeah. Ken?
We start being respectful of religious holidays, it would be discriminatory to exclude people who belong to minority religions, so religions that are less populous, like Baha'i, Quaker, and so forth. And if we did that, it would be every week, or every once a month, there'd be a holiday that would interfere with meetings, if not this, and if it's some other PNB meeting. The point is, there are a few nationally recognized holidays where banks are closed and so forth. Other than that, you know, and then it becomes ridiculous. You got to take off the Ramadan, Passover, you know, every goddamn holiday there is on the book. And it doesn't, you know, you can't do it on the basis of voting because it's discriminatory. So I think it should just be excluded.
Okay. Well, the happy news is that we don't actually have to decide that. All that we really have to decide to do here is to leave intact the next meeting of the committee for March 14th. And at that point...
12th.
March 12th, sorry. And at that point, the committee can make their own schedule going forward. I am not going to schedule any meetings beyond those.
Well,
and whatever it turns out to be, I guess.
Ken again?
Yeah.
Just let my little follow-up. Of course, it's not my decision. I'm not going to be on the committee either, so pass it forward. I just wanted to take the burden on myself to make the overtly truthful statement. So everybody can criticize me, but I'll be gone.
Fair enough. So we will leave the committee with a strong suggestion that it meet again on March 12th, and hopefully it will. Okay. Done. The next item had to do with a closed session tonight. My guess is we will do around the horn updates for about the next half an hour to 45 minutes. And I'm positive, that lots of issues come up. So the question becomes, do people feel like it's a good investment of time to go into a closed discuss some of these issues tonight, or would they sort of rather kick off that sort of work to what will be the 2013 configuration of the committee? And I'm open to suggestions.
This is Barbara.
Yeah.
You seem to have an idea about what would be covered in a closed session, and I confess I don't know what general topics you're thinking of, or maybe other people do, but do you want to say anything about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, my guess is that we'll have some discussion about the issues around the PFW move. We might have some discussions around the issues with the WBAI move.
Mm-hmm.
Both of those things have been, frequent issues.
Mm-hmm.
Above and beyond that, I don't know what else might come up.
Our Paul for Stack?
Yes.
I think we should have an executive session, and it'd be good if the interim executive director could come on and be on that at least. That would be good.
It would be nice. I can make a suggestion. I can't guarantee.
Tracy, I think the interim executive director, she's due to be at the hotel in New York tonight.
Oh.
So I have no idea what her traveling schedule is, but she might be in the air. Maybe she didn't leave yet. I don't know. But I think she's pretty tied up with preparations for that.
Yeah, that might not be practical. Okay, well, what I can commit to you is I will send a text and ask if she can, on the presumption that we will get there in about 45 minutes. And if she can, she will. And if she can't, there's really not much I can do. Okay. So with that, basically we've sort of used this around the horn kind of structure when we don't have set financial statements, which is still the situation. And what it basically consists of is that we go to each signal area, ask the treasurer to give us an update on whatever they perceive to be going on, and then we ask the ranking TNB member to kind of weigh in. And we have what discussion we can about the issues. And again, if there's components or pieces and parts that have to be kicked over to close, then we'll do so. So I'm thinking maybe we'll start on the west, because we often start on the east. So let's start with KPFA, and that would be Barbara. And I'm not putting you on the spot. This is not a formal report, just sort of a what's going on kind of thing.
Well, to tell you the truth, I did not really prepare for anything, beyond the latest sort of gossip. Our fund drive has started. People are a little worried because it's going slow, but it is the long one. So I'm remembering times where it picks up, halfway through.
Yeah.
And the total that we're writing up on the board that we're aiming for is $735,000. And today I know they finally cracked $200,000. There's been a lot of, I've been in the phone room, and there's been a lot of enthusiastic assistance, people coming to help answer the phones. I also know that when the last payroll went through, we were asked and did send additional money to help with WBAI's payroll, I believe it was, geared towards. And that's about all. I've been actually, when not in the phone room, I've been trying to help Maria with some of the still straggling payroll confusions, especially centering around people's W-2 statements.
Can I interrupt a second?
I'm done.
I just have some information. Just by accident, Summer just called me a minute after you were asking about her. And she had a delay of flight. She actually will be available for the executive session, but somebody texts her just before it starts.
Excellent. That's really good news. Thank you, Alex.
Okay.
Okay, so back to KPFA.
I was finished, so go ahead.
Okay. Do I have anything to add? Yeah, I had heard about some of the W-2 stuff. There was that horrible, awkward, did not go well payroll transition of last fall, and there are still repercussions from that kind of bouncing around because the record keeping, of course, is the previous year, and there was a period of time where things really went askew, and it's having an impact for sure. There is a new payroll clerk in the national office who seems to be fairly competent, so hopefully it's kind of getting under control, but it's a frustrating thing.
It is costing Maria lots of time, and that's why I've been, with a lot of years of payroll experience myself, trying to assist.
That's great. Thank you. Okay, any questions about KPFA? All right, then we'll move on.
When did your drive start, Barbara?
It started on, let's see, I've got it here in my, I think.
The 12th?
It was the 12th.
Yeah, that's what I thought. So it's been about a week.
Well, I didn't hear that on Mitch last week. I don't recall hearing him pitch. Weird.
Bill for the stack.
I know he wasn't on today because he's ill.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I listened.
No, it started last week. I don't know.
Alright.
Okay. Well, that's, I hope the fund drive picks up. Those numbers are not what you would hope for. Okay, are there any other questions or comments regarding KPFA?
Bill?
Yes, question. Campbell.
Okay, I heard Bill and I heard Campbell. Bill?
Okay, thank you. I remember the NFC and the PNB concurred last fall when we were adopting budgets about some expense cuts at KPFA. What's the progress on that?
Well, Bill, I'd have to have some kind of a crystal ball since we've had no finance statements from the national office. And I do know that there have not been any staff cuts, and the manager is, I believe, waiting till later in the fiscal year to enact that unless we can somehow get around it.
I guess my concern is that, you know, we made those cuts because it looked like, based on what seemed to be reasonable revenue projections based on the last, you know, fiscal year and last couple of fiscal years, that the only way to get your budget balance for this year would be to cut about, I think it was around $200,000. And if those cuts have not been made, then you're going to have a big deficit at the end of the fiscal year, which might result in even more deeper cuts, you know, this spring in order to try to catch up. And I think, the longer this waits, the longer it's delayed, the more painful it's going to be. Because I just don't think we can tolerate another deficit this year, and all of our stations need to do their part to get the budgets balanced. Mostly get their spending under control, unless the revenue dramatically is much higher than we expect.
I think Campbell was next on the stack.
Thank you. Very simple question. When is this drive due to end?
It is due to end March 4th.
Okay. And if you don't make it, you'll extend, right?
Yes, I suppose that is what will happen. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you very much.
This
is Kim. I have one other question.
Okay.
Maria doesn't put out financials for you. I mean, even though we haven't gotten reports from National, our business manager puts out reports every month.
She has done some with, but it is so incomplete that we didn't distribute them to the LSB at our last meeting. She is on, monitoring our funds, I believe, adequately. It is kind of scary to not have regular statements, but just in discussing how things are going in the office when, income comes in and bills get paid, I am not alarmed at this point. I think this is a highly unusual year. I don't know if Pacifica has ever been so long without finance statements. Maybe they did have in the past, but it's the first time that I've experienced this.
Yeah. It's the first time for all of us.
And I've been in the office a lot and close to what's going on. And I think when she prepared statements that just had big holes in it, and it would just bring questions about things that the information is incomplete, then you're having a discussion on baseless things, really. People can go on and on and on and on and on about stuff, and you don't really have all the information. That doesn't seem productive.
Okay. I mean, speaking for myself from the perspective of being the LSB or the PMB member, yes and no. I understand that point, and I also think that even if things are slightly incomplete, it might be better to have some information than
none. Well, I think
none.
Next time we will, because I don't think it's good to do this every month.
Yeah, yeah. That's probably for the best. And I've made the same point to the National Office.
Mm-hmm.
We will see. Okay. Anything else on KPFA?
That's Ken.
Yeah, go ahead.
Have there been any changes in the protocol of handling multicast programming that's going over KPFK and KPFA during the fund drive? Any change in the method of allocating the distribution or the donations which occur during the fund drive for programs that are broadcasting?
Any changes? Our staff has, and your staff has, a procedure that seems to work. I know you think maybe there's something wrong with it, but it appears that they have good communication about transferring the pledges that come in to us that belong in your hands, and they are. I haven't asked the data manager about that in this week that's gone by, but I'm assuming that they will follow the practice they've been following.
Okay. The reason I'm bringing it up is the prior, I guess in the middle of 2012, there was some questions that the board treasurer had about the reporting on the income. I don't know if anything's changed in the administration or documentation. I'm just wondering. I'm just trying to pick up some drop balls. I don't know if that was ever resolved.
Well, I don't think there's been any drop balls, Ken. I think one of the things that happens in our phone room is the data that we collect. It's hard to describe the business of collecting from more than one station without people getting very confused. And basically, all of the donations that are funneled through Berkeley and go to Los Angeles, I feel, are being handled properly.
Well, okay. This is Tracy,
okay.
I guess.
Is
it okay? Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Yes, I'd appreciate you. Yes, but it's also be simulcast in New York and maybe Houston. I know, isn't there one or two shows going to New York and Houston?
Well, yes, but there's no, what Barbara described as pledge funneling going on in those scenarios. The only station to which we are funneling pledges is KPFK, and under a different modality, because that goes through our, because that doesn't go through our books. We also do the same with our Fresno station, KFCF, and that does go through our books.
Okay, all right. Thank you. So now, back to you, Tracy. Thank you.
Okay. I think what Ken was referring to was the scenario, I don't even know how many months ago it was, maybe 6 months ago, give or take, we had some fairly substantial discrepancies in the amounts recorded in Berkeley and Los Angeles, and the explanation that we were given was extra zeros being put onto and off of. In other words, $25 pledges being counted as like
reading the cards. Yes, reading the cards.
Yeah, which was causing some problems in everybody's record keeping. And I think part of what Ken was following up on is, well, have we done anything to mediate that so we're not reporting $25 as $2,500 and kind of...
Well, I think that the two people handling the records in the two stations communicated with each other and discovered where, you know, someone who had run a calculating tape had picked up the wrong thing from what was written on a card. Now, I don't know how to deal with that. Have penmanship classes for the people who are filling out these pledge cards? I'm not sure. In any case, I think the staff handled it and got it straightened out. The fact that we hear about something when a problem starts doesn't mean that it's a problem that isn't solved.
Okay. What I would also add is we do have a bit of slowness in the recording of the LA pledges. I had asked what they were for the last fund drive and couldn't get the number, and finally got the number actually from Terry Guy in Los Angeles. Didn't seem like KPFA really had the number available or knew what it was, and since it impacts how much of our fund drive totals we're actually keeping, in other words, how much money we actually have, it's an important number. I'm not quite so sure that everything is all ameliorated quite as smoothly as Barbara's saying. There are penmanship issues. That's part of the problem with the duplicates in the database as well, is we get all the crazy spellings of the names and the streets, and so we end up with 2 and 3 and 4 records for the same household. But I do think that Ken is right to sort of highlight that there's an issue here. And I still think that we need to do a little bit more work, maybe next year, on sort of how we keep those records, because it does seem as if they're not as clear as they could be, and it creates sort of record-keeping scenarios that are problematic on an ongoing basis in terms of how much money are we saying is coming through the door and how much of it is actually tangible. That's my opinion. Okay, Ken, and then Kim.
Well, Kim should go first.
Okay.
I already spoke.
Well,
except
you know,
Kim.
Yeah, I will. What's the word? Support Tracy or acknowledge that I was having noticing discrepancies as well that couldn't be explained, and I'm hoping Novick will stay on top of this year. We used to get reports on the manager's report, and the KPFK manager no longer gives us those daily breakdowns. He seems to take that off when he reports to us. So it's kind of harder to track, but there has been discrepancies, and I'd like there not to be. I mean, I don't know what's, like Ken said, I don't know what's been done different other than, well, I don't think it, I don't know, whatever.
Okay. I think Ken is next.
Okay, yeah, I'm bringing this up not because if we're operating in the modality of each station better watch its own ass and make sure they get what they deserve, we're going to fail. The defined program that comes out of KPFA is popular in L.A. and New York and Houston and may be popular at all the stations, and likewise it may be popular shows coming from the other stations which would be accepted in Berkeley or L.A. and so forth. And I think our logistics may require some more interstation syndication, which will create this phenomenon when fund drives are being broadcast. We should have a standard uniform policy around the network as to how to handle and distribute funds when donations are sent in to a station when the program is, in other words, Berkeley's going to give its phone number even when it's being played in New York. People are going to call and donate to the Berkeley phone number even though they heard the program in New York, and or vice versa, New York to Berkeley. So I think we should have standardized national policy and procedure and protocol for handling that. Maybe one, just having one phone number, one 800 number that's used whenever there's an interstation fund drive broadcast, something, because it's better to handle it before problems occur. We should be proactive, setting up for that contingency, rather than waiting till we have to start chasing around to find out where the money went. So that's really the reason I'm bringing it up. It's being ignored and it hasn't been blown up. But I really think it's not a very I don't think anybody can challenge a prediction that we may need to have interstation broadcasting at some of our stations. And there's no reason we shouldn't. We should be showcasing the best programs around the network. So we should do some preparation rather than reactive solutions.
Okay.
That's all.
So I will take that as a recommendation to the 2013 Finance Committee that they try to develop some policy here, right?
That's the point.
Okay. Or Paul, could you make that sort of note in the minutes so we have that?
What exactly would we like me to put in there?
A suggestion from outgoing member Ken Aaron that the 2013 Finance Committee develop some policy around, what's the right word for this, around simul broadcasts of programming at multiple stations.
Well, actually, it's not about the simul broadcast. What he's objecting to or complaining about is the handling of funds.
Yes, the handling of pledges that result from simul broadcasts on multiple stations. Okay.
Is there any intention to do this in concert with perhaps gaining a better understanding of what the staff is already doing?
Absolutely.
I feel like you guys, you know, get into this wanting to manage things when we've got people doing them. So,
you know, Kim to the stack.
Okay. Bob, you're one of you guys. You're a you guy.
Ken, are you saying something? Ken?
Yeah.
Do you want me to put you on the stack? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Sorry. Oh,
it's okay. Oh, okay. Kim?
Oh, I'm just saying, we'd be happy to know what you guys are doing, and we'd be happy to know what Terry Guy is doing. We'd be happy to get everybody on a conference call and hear everything, so those of us at K aren't going, what happened to the money? Where'd it go? That's all. We just want, you know, to see what's going on instead of getting one number from you, getting another number from the manager, seeing another number on the financials, just, you know, transparency and, you know, numbers on paper would be really good. It's more than we have here at K right now.
Yeah.
Okay, that's something to say. Ken. But Ken, you're next.
Yeah, I made a proposal. Basically, just to start the discussion. I'm not trying to assert that I have the solution. I'm sure the solution exists if there are other multi-station or networks, public radio stations that do broad fund drives, I assume. But the point is, especially when we have national broadcasting, cover an election or an emergency or something, there might be a pitch, donations might be made. We should grow up and not act like a bunch of unaffiliated restaurants that kind of like work together. We should have a national policy for the handling or the integration of funds across the network when there's simulcast, it's not even simulcast. You could play something out of archives. And also, I have heard one of our KPFK programs broadcast on the internet on a podcast on, I can't remember the name of it. It's a very popular progressive radio, I think it's called. And it was Sonali Kohatka, and it was during a fund drive, and she made a pitch. So programs could be being broadcast across the internet. And, we should just have policy about that. Whether the programs are, being broadcast over someone else's domain or over our domain. Again, it's just, let's be proactive and address it before issues occur. We might wind up using all of the models and things that KPFA has learned and implemented. I'm not saying how to handle it. I'm saying normalize it across the network so it's predictable. And we know what we're doing, and it isn't just in one person's head. Talk to Susan knows what to do. That's amateur. We should be professional.
That's a ridiculous criticism because who's...
I'm not making a criticism. I'm saying if you have a policy, it should be published and distributed around the network. If there isn't one, we should create it.
Okay. Thanks, Ken. So with that, I think I'm going to close off KPFA unless there's further discussion. No burning desires? Okay. Okay. So going around, that takes us to KPFK. So I guess we'll start with Michael Novick, and I realize that you're brand new, so I will leave it up to you if you want to pass or take advantage of this opportunity, and then we'll go to Ken and to Kim.
Sure, I'll say a couple of things I'm sure they can add. We did receive financial stuff for January from the business manager, and I think a couple of things that we noted were that the so-called development costs were much higher than budgeted, and I was told that was because of the particular premium that was used, which is a water filtration system that has very high shipping costs. But since we were trying to reduce the development costs for premiums at KPFK, and that was pretty troubling, the listener support was a little bit higher than originally budgeted, but as Kim pointed out, that was an additional day of fundraising at least required. So it's not completely clear, how the day will play out. I believe we just started from there. I'm actually out of town. I had to go to Eureka. And I think the fundraiser started today. Is that right, at KPFK?
Mm-hmm.
As far as I remember, we had daily reports through the last fund drive. So if I today, I'll definitely look into it when I get back. I think we should have the daily reports on all by hour. Yes, on the fund drive, so that we can see where we're falling. We are trying to get all the members of the local station board to participate in the phone line. It would be a problem for us, I think, about the simulcast is that KPFA starts its fund drive a week or more before we do. So by the time that fund drive starts, people have already been hearing pitching on the news and on the Miss Judge's show that we do pick up. And so it seems to lengthen people's perception of how long our fund drives are. So I think hopefully going forward, somehow that will. Yes, we're doing it simultaneously, not just simulcasting their fund drive for a week or two and then starting ours.
Mm-hmm.
Is that it?
No, there's your offset there.
Okay. Thanks. All right, so we'll go to Ken Aaron next, and then Kim Kaufman, whatever you want to add at the end. We'll be fine. Ken?
I'm sorry, I did have one other thing to add, Michael Novick. I pointed out to the GM that the Finance Committee approved budget basically called for staffing cuts, and that there were two you call them, you lay somebody off, the severance, two severance pieces in there, and nothing's been done about that yet, and we acknowledge that was the case, and nothing has been done about it yet.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Ken, you're next.
Yeah, I haven't been that diligent about the finances. Again, the finances haven't been distributed, but I have heard that we should be a little bit more diligent or a little more standardized in the handling of local community events that are advertised on the station and promoted by the station or sponsored by the station, and that sometimes funds are collected and distributed without going through our books, you know, like passing the hat or something like that. And I think they've made policy on that, but the question of getting it implemented, it's going to be up to the GM talking to the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And volunteer directors to make sure that at least there's agreed upon policy on it. You know, if it exceeds paying $20 to pitching in for donuts, you know, it starts to become real money, and it's open. You know, that's all.
Yeah. Well, the Finance Committee has developed protocol for events where they're larger scale, but I guess on the smaller scale, your LSB has done some stuff.
Okay. So I'm sorry,
the station just had, Michael Levitt here, the station just had a fundraiser on Valentine's Day, but I was heading out the door pretty much, so when I get back I will check and see as to whether the protocol was followed on that, and we have an LSB fundraiser coming up in March. We definitely want to, you know, set a standard for that.
Okay. All right, Kim, do you have anything to add?
Yes, quite a bit. First of all, no, absolutely, there is no protocol for our community events, cash collection. Not one item on the cash management policy has been followed. But I would like to get a little more into the weeds here, even though the financials that Anthony has been producing, these were better than the last two or three months, but there's still a lot of stuff missing, and I can still kind of read through and make a report. So yes, one day was added to the December drive. We are still a little over budget on the listener support. We're under budget on all the other donations, car donations, major donors. Anthony miscalculated how to figure out the community events, so we're not $10,000 over budget. We're actually only about $1,000 under budget. So that improves that a little. Now we have the issue of the transmitter capital, which we put on the into the revenue, and Bernard has stated that we've made over $43,000, but yet I can only find the financials only show $27,000 collected.
Towards the full cost of the transmitter.
So, well,
$90,000.
Bernard has stated publicly and sent out, you know, on the manager's report and all that, that we've collected $43,000. But the financials are only showing $27,000, of which $16,000 was the original solar money that we put in there.
Right.
So there's kind of like a discrepancy. There was this $10,000 donation, which apparently just did not go through KPFK. This person wrote the check to the transmitter company. So I, you know, obviously that hasn't hit our books. So I don't know. But nevertheless, there is some confusing accounting that I'd like to know what's going on here, because it's, you know, at least $15,000, like, where to go? Okay, moving on. There are about $29,000, which Anthony neglected to put in here. Our insurance for the building is blank for 4 months. That would be $4,660. Novick, can you ask Bernard what he knows about our insurance, if it's getting paid, because that line shouldn't be blank?
Yeah, well, in a time, I'll be back Friday.
Just make a note. You know, but that's something that, you know, treasurers notice, that the insurance line is blank for 4 months. I mean, if, you know, management isn't doing it, we've got to ask why, you know, what's going on? The tower utilities bill is blank for January. I suspect that they might have just held it off until next month, but that would be another $2,500. And then the FSRM line is blank in the expenses. So that would be another $20,000 that should be in there in our expenses. And then the 403B pensions is blank. That should be about $2,100, because it's been paid for the first 3 months, and then this month is blank. So that comes to almost $30,000 that we have to add to our expenses here that haven't been paid. Now, the overall salaries is $17,000 over budget. But if you look at the actual salaries, that's $47,000 over budget. And we're, other than the 403B contribution, which I just mentioned, the other pension expense, which is $8,300 for the year, I don't know if that gets paid quarterly or yearly, but that's blank. And also, we're $20,000 under budget for our health expenses. So I don't know if we miscalculated in our favor or we're not, you know, there's some not complete accounting going on between National and here. But that's why the overall salaries is not so far under budget, but in actuality, we're $47,000 over budget just on the salaries. Now, the other thing is that Sonali is on parental leave, so I'm not sure if she's getting paid or not. Theoretically, I mean, she shouldn't be. My understanding is the union contract says, you know, they can have up to 6 months unpaid leave. So that's something to consider, whether she's still on payroll or not, what's going on with that, and what's going on with her producer. Now, you know, we've replaced her show with Tom Hartman in the morning, and we get that show free, but somebody has to edit, you know, Tom Hartman's show onto a 1 hour. Perhaps her producer is still getting paid, and that's what he does, in which case Tom Hartman's show is not free. Because we're paying a mm-hmm. halftime producer.
Okay,
to do
Kim.
That.
Yeah. Okay. Try to wrap it up fairly soon. We do need to get to the other station.
Okay. I'm pretty much done here. And the big thing is that Anthony neglected to put down the transmitter under capital budget, which is my understanding, all paid off. At any rate, instead of being $45,000 positive, I'm getting $76,000 deficit.
Mm-hmm. Right, because of all those things that aren't in there.
Yeah.
Okay, questions, comments?
Bill?
Okay, well, I'll make one. Bill, go ahead.
Yeah, I guess kind of the same comment I had for KPFA. You know, we also cut about $200,000, if I remember correctly. Maybe it was a little more from KPFK's because of the actual revenue was, the original projections were much higher than the experience that when history has indicated? And have you seen any evidence that any of the expense cuts have been made?
No, I've seen none. And actually, the biggest thing I want to reiterate that I didn't actually mention is we're $120,000 over budget on our premium costs and shipping. That's not just a little. There's a big miscalculation about this. That's a significant over. We're like practically at the end of our budget for premiums for the whole year already.
I remember that from last month, and that was going to be my next question. But so, you know, I guess I hope. I don't know who handles ordering premiums or selecting them, but I hope they realize, yeah, that there's, you know, you can't spend beyond what the budget is for that line item for the whole year.
Well,
and so I don't know what they're going to do for premiums the rest of the year. I tell you, what it feels like is here we're hurtling towards the edge of the cliff, and we're not even putting the brakes on. And, you know, perhaps several stations are assuming that, you know, some other stations will pick up the slack for payroll or health insurance or utilities or, I don't know, whatever expenses may come up they don't have cash for. But, you know, we have no reserves anywhere. I'm not picking on you, Kim. I know you're aware of this. But I see some big problems coming up this in a few months for both KPFA and K. And, you know, our East Coast stations aren't doing so great financially either. So I don't know where the money's coming from for expenses the rest of the year.
Yeah, I agree. And I just want to point out that, we haven't had a report in a long time, but for last year, Anthony's reports, which may be different than Nationals, is we had a $179,000 deficit last year. So, you know, we always come off as the good station, the good one, but we're in trouble. My guess is, you know, what happened is at the October drive, our first 2 weeks were really, really dismal, really bad. And for the last week, they put on these products, I don't know whether they were Gary Null. I suspect that they were under, you know, like you have a sale. Wow, we sold out everything, but at the end of the day, we made zero money because we sold at a cost or below cost. And I think that's what happened because these items, when I was in the phone room, people were saying, wow, how can you afford to, like, you know, this price? I know that they're more expensive than that, you know, other places. So there was a little, I don't know, something going on to get the numbers up for the October drive, which on the back end, it wasn't, you know, it hurt us.